You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
It's the final personal finance segment for the month of November, and we're taking a look at understanding your protections when it comes to financial products. Now, how we got to this was, there was an interesting article a couple of weeks ago about a lady who had taken up a product with one of the financial services providers, wasn't happy with the product, had understood that there was the option to take your money or withdraw your monies and cancel the product, but then went on to find out that there was some fine print that prevented her from withdrawing her money. She had to see out the term of the product. She went to court. Didn't end so well in court. And we're looking at that. We're looking at the fine print behind financial products, what you need to know, what covers you, and what doesn't cover you. I'm joined on the line by the director at Harold Gee Attorneys. That's Karen McKenzie, to take a look at this and see if we can better understand it. Good evening, Karen. Thanks so much for taking the time. The case in question mentions things like the Consumer Protection Act and other pieces of legislation that may have been applicable there. Let's start with understanding the legislation that governs financial products. Is that things like the Consumer Protection Act, or is there separate legislation that speaks to how financial products should be treated?
Thanks, Jimmy, and thanks for having me on your show this evening. The point that was made quite strongly in the case that I wrote the article about is that the person in this case, the plaintiff, had unfortunately proceeded in terms of the Consumer Protection Act, which is an understandable error because one assumes that it will protect consumers in most situations. However, there are some exceptions set out specifically in the Consumer Protection Act, and it says, for instance, that it will not cover you if the product that you have is regulated in terms of the Long-Term Insurance Act, or if it constitutes advice or intermediary services, that are regulated by the Financial Advisory and Intermediary Services Act. Now, I'll come to those acts shortly. But I think the important point to take on board here is that when you're dealing with something that's effectively a financial investment, I'm not talking about banks, this is separate now. If you buy into a policy or something like that, that will be covered by regulations that are in the financial sector. That'll be the FICE Act, it'll be the policyholder protection rules, etc., but it'll be excluded. You will not have protection for that under the Consumer Protection Act. You may have similar protections, but you can't look to that act to assist you. And that's unfortunately what happened in this case.
Now, Karen, when we look at these sorts of acts, it all seems like it can be quite overwhelming to have to deal with different pieces of legislation and understanding all of the fine print. Mm. And it seems like a lot of it can get away from us if we're not careful about what goes on here.
Sure.
When we deal with financial products, what are the rights that consumers have? Because we need to understand those in order for us to understand where our protections lie.
Sure. Well, I think a starting point is to look firstly at a strong source of rights is the relatively new policyholder protection rules, and that's for long-term and in short-term insurance products. That came out in 2017, and that's under the Long-Term Insurance Act. That regulates things like product designs, so it has a whole lot of provisions about what insurers can or can't put into their product. Most importantly, it has provisions about cooling off periods. So, for instance, if you sign up for a policy, as in this case, the plaintiff in this case had signed up for a five-year, we call them endowment policies. There's actually a cooling off period of 31 days from the time that you get your documentation from the insurer. And in that period, if you have second thoughts about this, provided you haven't yet claimed on the policy and there hasn't been, the event that you have insured against, for instance, death or, retirement, whatever it might be, if that hasn't yet happened, then you can go back to the insurer within that period of 31 days and saying, I just want to cancel this policy, and you can do so, and that's the end of it. And the insurer must refund you any premiums, whether that's a once lump sum one, as in this case, 350,000 rand, or whether it's been just a month's premium. So that's an important right that people have under the policy. We call them the PPR, the policy protection rules. There's also there are provisions, for instance, that guard against misleading advertising. The important provisions about disclosure, the obligation to on the service provider, in this case the insurer, to make full disclosure to the client about all the terms of the policy. Another important piece of legislation that protects customers and clients in this situation is the FICE Act. That's the Financial Advisor and Intermediary Services Act. Because that, let's just move a step back. The policy protection rules basically protect the client against adverse provisions that are set up by the insurer in this case, whereas the FICE Act is effectively regulating not only the insurer but also the financial advisors. So there's a code of conduct under that that also, that financial advisors and service providers must adhere to. And that includes keeping a record of advice they give to clients, their fit and proper requirements. There are very important provisions about conflicts of interest. And the things that I think clients need to be aware of when they are looking at investments, firstly, they have to read those documents. You know, it's very tempting to say, oh, I'm not a lawyer, I can't follow the small print. If you don't understand it, it must be explained to you. There are directions that bind insurers and people who put these products together to make them write it in plain language. Can I understand it? If then it needs to be explained to you. Don't sign anything that you haven't read. Don't sign anything that you haven't understood. Similarly, on the other side of things, although there are many very good and competent financial advisors out there, like any other profession, there's some that are more driven by the commission and the remuneration and the interests of their clients. And unfortunately, the sector, to some extent, the financial sector, actually drives bad behavior by intermediaries by linking the remuneration that they get to the particular product that they recommend to their client. And in general, the longer the term of the product, the more that financial advisor gets remunerated. So whilst he or she is supposed to have the client's best interests at heart, one must bear in mind that they also have their own interests in this, and clients must be very careful that they know what they're getting into with a particular product and that it is aligned to their needs. In this case, that precipitated the court judgment, Mrs. Shigombo had been persuaded to put an inheritance that she'd, money she just inherited, into a policy that was to run for 5 years. Now, that's quite a long-term investment. And then when she changed her mind, she discovered that in terms of the rules of the policy, she couldn't access it.
Mm.
So that is something that should really have been explained to her up front. I don't know if it was or if it wasn't, but, you know, sometimes these things do. People are not properly advised.
Mm. Karen, when we look at that, I want to wrap up by looking at that aspect of it to say, you as the consumer have the right to ask the questions, and you should be asking the questions. If I feel that something has not been explained to me thoroughly and I enter into an agreement like that, how do I keep record of that? How do I note down that these are the things that I wanted clarity on prior to entering into the agreement? I never got clarity on them. Or I got clarity and then the clarity is different to what I've been told. Because my understanding is when we have these conversations, especially if you're having them over the phone with a financial advisor or something, there is protections within the law that say that those conversations must be recorded.
Yes. It's called a record of advice, an ROA. And any time that a service provider or an intermediary advises you about a product, they have to keep a record of advice, which is quite a detailed document which sets out everything that they've explained to the client and the client's answers. And that includes, they should be doing quite a careful analysis of that client's financial needs in order to make sure that the investment is appropriate to that. So, for instance, if somebody had done a proper financial needs assessment in this case, they would have realized that Mrs. Shigombo was most likely to need access to that funding earlier than the 5 years of the investment. But as I say, we don't know all the facts around this case. It may be that she changed her mind at some point. But that is, you as a client need to ask your financial advisor or the service provider that's coming straight from, in this case, it was Sanlam, but it may have been any other insurer. You need to make sure that they explain those most important policy terms to you carefully. And that, for me, the most important terms would be, what is the length of this contract that I'm entering into? When can I access my monies? In what form can I access this? Is it a full repayment of that amount with interest, or is it broken down into partial payments? How do I get that money? If I want to cancel it, how do I cancel this contract? Can I cancel this contract? Those are the kind of questions people need to be asking, quite apart from, what sort of return is this going to generate? Because that's also the reason that you invest and you don't keep cash lying around in a bank account. So those are also important questions. What is the rate of return? But for me, the main things are, don't ever sign forms in blank. I mean, that's also that's in the policyholder protect rules. It's forbidden, but people do it anyway. They say, oh, just sign here. You know, we'll fill in the details later. Don't ever do that. You know, that's just giving somebody else carte blanche to make decisions for you that may not be in your best interests. So you make sure that you fill out all the details that you need to on that, and that everything is properly explained. And then, of course, you do, as I say, you do have that 31-day cooling off period. If you've signed up anyway, but you're having second thoughts about it, once you get that documentation, look through it carefully, make sure that you're still happy with that. And if not, you have 31 days to go back to the insurer or the investment company and say, no, this doesn't work for me.
That's it. Read the fine print, ask the questions, have the conversations, and most importantly, don't sign anything you don't understand. Speak to a financial advisor about your financial needs. Don't say Jimmy gave you financial advice on the SAFM Market Update. Speak to a financial advisor. They know better. We'll leave the conversation there. Thank you so much, Karen, as always, for the time and for the insights. That's Karen McKenzie, who is a director at Herald Key Attorneys, joining us to take a look at understanding the fine print in financial products and how to better prepare yourself.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.